first of all, in order to respond to your question about how things change, you have to really establish some sort of chronological perspective here. And with that, I mean a cultural perspective as well. So I'm 70 years old, and that means I was born in 1942. And so my early years were the war years. I'm a pre-baby boomer. That means I grew up essentially in the 1950s. And the 1950s means Dwight Eisenhower. It means Queen Elizabeth being coronated. But when you grew up in the 50s, there was a whole conformist expectation that people were, for the most part, raised to respect. And that all changed in the 60s. The 60s were a totally transformative period for me personally and for the country culturally. The role of gay people began to change. I came out myself in the late 60s, and I was in my mid-20s, and the Rhode Island that I came out into was populated by a few gay bars that were typically not on main streets. I mean, I recall one bar in particular. It was a Chinese restaurant called the Kubla Khan. It was a Chinese restaurant that had two doors, one for the dining room and one for the lounge. Well, the Chinese restaurant in the dining room was a conventional Chinese restaurant of its time. The lounge, however, was a gay bar, just kind of by understanding. So what was it like to walk in there? It was exhilarating. It was scary because I also had to walk out of there. And I was carrying the same fear that, oh, my God, what if I see somebody I know in there? Or more precisely, what if someone I know sees me in there, you know, without really thinking that I'd be seeing them too? As time progressed, we moved into the 70s. Now you're talking about the disco era, and it was the heyday of big dance bars. And there were a few gay dance bars in town that were signature bars, a place called The Gallery that was located down in what's now the Knowledge District. There have been bars that come and go in ascendancy like that, but that was kind of the focus of a lot of my connection to the gay community, because really, when you think about it, there wasn't much other structure to the gay community other than the gay bars. So that's where you went to meet people, and it wasn't like there were a lot of other independent groups. There were some, but nothing like there is today. The biggest change, however, came in the mid-80s with the AIDS crisis. The AIDS crisis galvanized the gay community in a way that nothing else ever had before. But it meant like a funeral a month for years. There were years when it felt like there was no hope, but you had to hope. You had to hope that it would get better. I mean, and you had to do what you could do to try to make it better in the short run and in the long run. And, you know, in the short run, it was, you know, hands-on assistance with buddies. At the same time, you needed to do something that was kind of system-wide. So the AIDS Project was able to provide a voice for the community at the Department of Health and in public health circles in ways that help to bring resources to bear on the issue, help bring support to the organization so it could do its work of supporting the people who were affected by the disease. Well, the 90s were an interesting period. I mean, for me personally, I left the AIDS Project actively. You know, I was pretty burned out from it, and I worked more professionally. I was at the Department of Education for many years, and we were able to get the Board of Regents to pass a non-discrimination clause in the mid-90s. when you put all that in perspective, what did I think when I came out? I imagine that I would ever be doing this sort of work? Hell no. No, that would be certainly way beyond my imagination. And to sit here today and imagine that we're going to have the right to marry is pretty astounding to me.